Again, I'd like you to open your Bible with me at the portion of Scripture in John's Gospel, chapter 18. We're taking as our text this evening the words that are recorded in the very last verse, verse 40, that we read together. Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a robber. The theme that I want to leave with you tonight is simply the people's choice. And of course, down through the course of life, people make many decisions. Many of them are irreversible, and to the regret of those who have made them. That is what has happened in the scene before us. You see, down through the course of human history, many a very sad and many a very foul deed has been carried out. When we think even of the years of trouble in this province, man did to man what the wild beast of the forest and the great fish of the sea would never do to each other. But the climax of all foul deeds was to be witnessed on that particular day, over 2,000 years ago, when they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and killed the Prince of Life and crucified the Son of God. Now, many things have happened over the course of time. Many things have happened less than 2,000 years ago, and the passage of time has erased them from man's memory. But what happened that day? The world has never been allowed to forget it. You see, God's word, inspired, infallible, indestructible, has informed generation after generation of the events of that particular day. The words of Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 were vividly demonstrated that day outside the walls of Jerusalem's old city. And he said, "The heart is deceitful," and took it a step further, and said, "The heart is deceitful above all things," and took it a step further. He said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." And the wickedness and the depravity of the human heart was vividly demonstrated that day. You and I, of course, live in a sinful society. When the conditions that prevailed in the heart of many people that day still prevails in the heart of many today. Because sadly, as Christ was rejected then, he is rejected tonight. And while man may not say it audibly, yet the words that uttered from the voice of that bloodthirsty mob, "Away with him, crucify him, give us our Barabbas and give us our sin," still echoes from the hearts of many. "Not this man, but Barabbas." That was the people's choice. My friend, what has been your choice? What has been your decision in regard to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, even at his birth, the Bible tells us he came to his own received him not. The shutters were up, the signs were out, no room for them in the inn. Down through the course of his life, he was rejected. But is he still rejected from your life? "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now, looking at the people's choice here, I want you to notice, first of all, a sadistic cry, "Not this man." You see, that was a very, very important day in the history of the Jews. It was Passover Day. It was a day of remembrance when multitudes of people would have converged in the city of Jerusalem for a particular purpose, and that was to call to mind the goodness of God in breaking the Egyptian bondage and bringing his people from out under the tyranny of the Pharaohs and setting his people free. And you see, God told them they were never to forget it, and they were to teach it to their children and to their children's children. And that's why they had converged, to remember what God had done in the past, his goodness to them. But how quickly they forgot. And they soon turned the occasion of their remembrance into an opportunity to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. You can almost hear the roar of that crowd as they surge forward to claim the attention and to influence the decision of Pilate. Away with him! Crucify him! Not this man, but Barabbas. There they were rejecting the Son of God, God whom they had come to remember his goodness. Now they are rejecting his wonderful Son. But friend, what have you done with Christ? Have you lifted up the fists of your heart in rebellion against him and said, no, God, not in my life? And the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But it actually reads, the fool has said in his heart, no God, not for me. You see, there's many people who believe there is a God, that he really does exist, but they don't want that God reigning and ruling in their life. Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Now, thinking about that sadistic cry, you will notice that it was a persistent one. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, and the verse 23, the Bible says, and the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And that was their persistent cry. That bloodthirsty mob had ganged up against the Savior. They had fixed their mind, they had set their heart to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. And they pursued that until we read in the Bible that sitting down, they watched him there. And they watched him callously and they watched him coldly as he dies on Calvary's cross. The Bible says they cried out the more, louder and louder, longer and longer, not this man. Sadly, that's been the persistent cry of many an individual in our land. They have heard the gospel. And when you preach the gospel to them, you're not telling them anything new. They've known it from childhood days. And many, if they were honest, could say, like Timothy from a child, they've known the scriptures that are able to make them wise unto salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they have said, is this a picture of your heart? Not only was it a persistent cry, but it was a prevailing cry. Because again in Matthew 27 and verse 24, the Bible says, Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made. Now in 5 occasions, Pilate sought to release the Lord Jesus Christ. But he saw that he could prevail nothing. So their cry was a persistent cry. It was a prevailing cry because Pilate yielded to the cry and the call of the mob. And he handed Jesus over to them. Now, of course, that was a sinful act because when Pilate did that, he said, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. My friend, if you reject Jesus Christ, you're not innocent. Now, Pilate, he took water to wash his hands. You'll not wash your hands of this issue. Friend, you've a man on your hands tonight. And Pilate said, what shall I do? The mob cried, crucify him. And they had made their decision public. That was their choice. But Pilate realized that over and beyond them, there was his decision to make. Hence, he says, what shall I do with Jesus? The hymn writer says, what shall I do with Jesus? Neutral, you cannot be. You see, folks, you can be neutral politically, but you can't be neutral religiously. You can stand on the right, or you can stand on the left, or you can stand up the middle politically, but you cannot do that. You're either in Christ or out of Christ. You're either saved or lost. There's no neutrality. For Jesus said, those that are not for me are against me. Where do you stand in relation to the Lord Jesus? Pilate yielded to the mob of the crowd. And the day he yielded to the mob of the crowd and handed Jesus. But then, folks, there was not only this sadistic cry, but then I want you to notice a specific, because they said, not this man, but Barabbas. And there is a contrast here between the Lord Jesus Christ and Barabbas. Now, when you come to look at the Lord Jesus Christ, many people forget this very important truth, that in him they live and move and have their being. In other words, folks, you and I could not speak another word, draw another breath, take another step, carry out another act without receiving life from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our physical life is in and of him. So also our spiritual life. You see, he said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, there's many people have life, and really it's an existence. Because the Bible says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. But Jesus has come that we might have life. And when you think of all that Christ offers to men and women today, a salvation that is forever, I give to them eternal life, that they shall never perish. And with that comes a wonderful pardon from sin, the wonderful peace of God which passes all understanding, the glorious prospect of heaven itself. He's my life giver, physically and spiritually. And the most ungodly man in Ulster, though he doesn't understand it, he couldn't live another moment but for Christ. But when you contrast that with Barabbas, now the Bible says Barabbas was a robber. Can't you see the contrast here? Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life. I am come that you might have. Well, when a robber comes, he comes that you might not have. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the devil, of course, has come to take all those wonderful blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus away from men and women. Wants to rob them of the joy and the peace and the assurance of God's salvation. Wants to rob them of heaven itself. But you know, more than that, the Bible not only says that Barabbas was a robber, but in Mark's Gospel chapter 15 and verse 17, the Bible says, Barabbas, who had committed murder. Jesus says, I'm come that you might have life. Well, a murderer doesn't come that you might have life. He comes to take your life. You see, Barabbas was an insurrectionist. And in that he had committed murder. In other words, he was a member of a revolutionary group who had sought to overthrow the Roman power of the day. And Pilate, of course, I believe, thought the people would go for Jesus. You see, his back was against the wall. He was in a hard place. And it was a customary thing at that time of the year to release a prisoner, and he thought they might go for Jesus, but they went for Barabbas. You see, in the eyes of many of them, Barabbas would have been a hero. Pilate thought he was, and he was, of course, putting out the worst of the criminals to the people, but still they wanted Jesus dead. Very, very sad, folks, isn't it, that they would settle for a robber, a murderer, an insurrection. But again, it's a reflection of many a life. What people settle for is amazing. Oh, just give me a little longer. The world, it is so bright. When I feel that I am dying, I'll get sick. And they settle for the few moments of sinful pleasure and reject not man. They're not having him reigning and ruling over their lives and over their business and over their homes. They settle for the Barabbas of their sin. Then I want you to notice their sinful choice. Because the Bible tells us in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, in the verse 26, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. What a foul deed was done that day, folks. Because Pilate stood before and he said, why? What evil has he? The Bible says that he knew for envy they had delivered him. Again, he says, I find in him no fault at all. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. The one who knew no sin did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. He could stand before all the hostile leaders of the day and say, which of you can convince me of sin? And there wasn't one of them could open their mouth in honest condemnation of Christ. Paul said that the life of Christ was so perfect that it was a condemnation of sin in the flesh. Yet, they would have a robber and a murderer and an insurrectionist before they would have that Jesus. There's many in Ulster tonight, and sadly, that condition of heart prevails. No God. It's not that they're denying that he exists, but they're denying him any place in their life. No God, not for me, not in my life. And they shut out the Prince, the Lord Jesus. How sinful, how foul the deed of rejecting the Savior. We said that day they crucified the Son of God. The sun refused to shine upon him. The world was plunged into darkness. The earth hid away in the darkness for 3 hours. The awfulness of rejecting the Son of God. Jesus said they know the man or the woman or the young person who rejects Christ is. Nor do they know the consequences of what they're doing. Because the Lord said, in that day of righteous reckoning, many shall come before him and say, Lord, Lord, we have done this, we've done that in thy name. And he will say, depart from me. You didn't want me in your now no place. And folks, that was an individual decision. Because though that mob was made up of many people, yet everyone had to make an individual decision, just as Pilate had to do when he said, what shall I do? There was one thing absolutely clear in his mind, that he knew he had to do something. He knew there was no evading of this. He knew clearly something had to be. Sadly, he listened to the. And the crowd will always say, come, throw your lot in with us. But what will you do? Should I turn that around and say, folk, what will you do without him? You see, many people will say, well, I can live very well without him. And you know, tragically, some do. And some would even dare to say, and I can die without him. And tragically, many in our land are dying without Christ. But there's one thing that can't be done without him. You can't get into heaven without him. Yeah, people can live without him. People can die without him. But there's no heaven without him. Because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And on another occasion he said, I am the door, by me if any man enter in. Now you and I live in a so-called multicultural society, and we're told that every culture finds its own way to heaven. And if that is true, the Bible's wrong. The Bible's not. And the gospel truth still stands where Jesus said, I am the door. By me if any man enter in, shall be saved. He is the only Savior of sinners. There is no other one. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 that neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And note the word must. It's not something that's optional that we may or can or should do. We must. It's imperative. We must be saved. Therefore, purchase our. But it was not only an individual decision there, but it was an irreversible. Pilate stood before the crowd, emphasizing there was no fault in Christ. Now he hands the Savior over to these people, and his decision was irreversible. Because they took the Lord Jesus Christ, and they frog-marched him up Golgotha's brow, and they crucified the Son of God, put the Prince of Life to death. Pilate. But the hymn writer says, what will you? Remember the decision that you made. That could be irreversible. For this reason, you know not, the Bible says, what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And we don't know what tomorrow will bring. We could be in eternity tomorrow. A man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and is cut down. He flees as a shadow and continues not. And Job says in Job chapter 14, man dieth, wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. Friend, where would you be 5 minutes? Isaac said, I know not the day. Isaiah said to King Hezekiah, set your house, for thou shalt. Friend, is your house, are you saved? Oh, little wonder the Bible exhorts us to make our calling and election sure. There is such an urgency in the matter. Job again in that same chapter asks another great question. And he says, if a man die. And when we get to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, I believe the Apostle John answers that question. Banished away on a lonely island because of his Christian faith, defense of the God revealed to him things that are future and let him look into the future and into heaven itself. Remember what Job said, if a man dies, shall he live again? And John says, I saw the dead, small and... You know, in that story, it says, and Jesus stood before the governor. The day is approaching when that governor will stand before. And then the question will not be on Pilate's lips, what shall I do, but on the sea. For Pilate might well then ask, what will he do with me? Not this man. That was the people's choice. What's your choice today? Christ or your sin? Heaven. Friend, choose wisely. Choose Christ. Choose him.